Whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
That one just never gets old. And it's been far too long since we've heard the old classic from Representative Bill Henderson. Let's hear it again.
Whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
Oh, yes, it does, Bill. Come to think of it, it's almost as good as this one.
And the sales tax, to me, is far and away the best way to pay for anything. I would say that we should have 10% sales tax in Buffalo.
Oh yeah, they're both fairy tales. And both of those two guys are living in fantasy land. If you didn't remember, that last one was Rick Myers, head of the tax advocate group JOCO First in Johnson County. A little bit later in the program, I've got another absolutely outstanding audio clip from that guy. You're absolutely going to start to love him just as much as we love old Bill Henderson. Why not? Let's play him again.
It kind of reminds me of that fairy tale, Cinderella.
Yep, it sure does. And we'll have more of that fairy tale a little bit later in the program. But first, some totally obscene self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden or you're living in a fantasy land like JOCO First, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself just like you should have been doing all along, but didn't. Today's installment of Weekend Update is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for any type of building, be it a outbuilding or a garage or a giant roping arena or a barn to keep all of your horses out of all of this nasty heat, well, then you need to call Nick or Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These two guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Later on today, after I get back from fishing, I'll post the entire public information session that was recorded Wednesday night about this Johnson County bond issue. I'm just going to play it end to end. It's about an hour and a half long, so you can listen to the whole thing. The audio quality is pretty good, much better than you got from the recording that was done at the session off of 307 Net Radio. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Wednesday evening, before the public information session on this $50 million tax, I did a quick interview with Mark Bentley of 307 Net Radio. You know when you finish a conversation and you're like, dang, I should have said that? Well, this is one of those cases. So first, I'll play you the little excerpt from our interview, and then I'll tell you what I should have said, and I know you're absolutely going to agree.
I don't think that we ought to be taxing ourselves to pay for a whole bunch of buildings right now.
Yet those buildings are public buildings.
That's true.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it should be public money, should it not?
Not that necessarily.
That maintains them and upgrades them.
Not necessarily. If you go to Sheridan County and just drive through it, you'll see Whitney this, Whitney that, all over the place. The Sheridan College is very much a public school, and yet there are buildings that are paid for with private funds there. So I don't really buy the argument that because they're government-owned facilities, that the government has to pay for them. And secondarily, I don't think that we need to go down a road where the government is involved in more and more facets of our community. Certainly things that could be handled privately and much more efficiently and much less expensively.
So what I should have said was, the government doesn't have any money of its own. It's all our money. And why should someone who's not going to use all of these facilities be forced to pay for them with a 20-year, $50 million tax? That doesn't make any sense. As Bill Henderson would say,
whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here.
Well, a strange thing has happened with these tax advocates. They seem to have contracted the same malady that affects liberals in Washington, D.C. When they start to lose an argument, well, then they just change the words and the definitions around and they try to convince you that it's something else. So now that it's public that their head, Rick Myers, has said really dumb stuff like this.
And the sales tax, to me, is far and away the best way to pay for anything. I would say that we should have 10% sales tax in Buffalo.
Their response is, well, you know, it's only legal to have 7% sales tax, so what he said really doesn't matter. That completely avoids the whole point of that comment, that they actually think that sales tax should be that high, that we don't pay enough taxes already. That's the part that they're avoiding. So it kind of makes you wonder what they're going to do with this next piece of shocking audio from JoCo First Head Rick Myers. Get a load of this.
I think it's affordable to everybody, because what about people that are on fixed incomes? You're correct. People that are on fixed incomes even spend less in our community because they're on fixed incomes. The impact of them is even far less than $5.
Wow. That is a fundamental misunderstanding of microeconomics. Sales tax affects the poorest among us the most. It's economies of scale, Rick. If you have a smaller income and taxes are increased, it proportionally affects you greater than somebody who makes more money. It's not the dollar amount, it's the percentage of income. The poorest among us spend the vast majority of their income on taxable goods. So yes, it affects those people to a far greater degree than it does for someone who makes $100,000 a year. This is an absolutely shocking and elitist attitude towards taxpayers. But we really shouldn't be surprised given the absolute lack of attention that's been paid to Buffalo business owners like Tucker Alger, who spoke at the public information session on Wednesday night. Again, you'll be able to hear that when I play the whole thing later today. One more little interesting turn of events concerning this taxmageddon in Johnson County. It would appear that the Johnson County Library Board of Trustees doesn't quite agree with the language on the ballot measure. In fact, they called it erroneous. Let me read to you from their press release. Quote, "The bond issue language, as written on the ballot, states $625,000 for KC Library facility owned by the county to be used for the demolition and disposal of the existing facility and the construction of a new facility meeting the needs of the community. The library's Board of Trustees did not instruct anyone to include this language, nor did they approve such language prior to the passing of the ballot resolution by the Johnson County Commissioners. Organizers also did not contact the Board of Trustees to confirm if the wording of the library portion of the resolution agreed with their wishes. The erroneous ballot language, as presented to the public, does not reflect the wishes of the library board, who want to explore the needs of the KC community with regards to the library facility there. Signed, the Johnson County Library Board of Trustees." End quote. Now that's an interesting piece of news. I wonder how the tax advocates of JoCo First are going to handle that little tidbit. In fact, I call upon the tax advocates to address this situation immediately and inform voters why it is that the Johnson County Library Board of Trustees is putting out a public statement saying that they didn't approve the language on the ballot. This situation absolutely has to be explained to voters. It is unconscionable that voters would be allowed to vote on a ballot measure with these serious questions surrounding it. It just seems like every episode I do about this, more questions arise. It's obvious that this ballot measure is definitely not ready for prime time, and not a single Johnson County voter should vote for this thing. Moving on, it's turning out to be kind of a hairy month for if you're an elected official. Well, if you're in Johnson County, if you're an unelected official. But in any case, if you're an elected official in the state of Wyoming, things have been a little bit rough for you. And they've been a little bit worse for the Crook County Treasurer. It appears that she's a crook too. Yeah, I know. How funny is that? The Crook County Treasurer is herself a crook. From the Sundance Times on July 29th, 2021, in an article entitled County Treasurer Arrested, Sarah Pridgeden writes, and I quote, County Treasurer Mary Cole was arrested on Friday on criminal charges related to her conduct as an elected official. The allegations include that she listed a customer's license plate tabs as lost in the mail, but then placed them on her own vehicle, that she adjusted the tax system to hide missing money, and that she issued a false certificate so that a personal friend could avoid paying registration fees. The investigation was headed by Special Agent of the Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation, end quote. Apparently, Lord Acton was right that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, you've got a public official that's probably making north of $65,000, $70,000 a year and still has to fudge the records so she doesn't have to pay for her own license plates. I mean, ask Rick Myers, even people who are on a fixed income can pay for their license plates. They don't have to steal like the crook of Crook County. In other news, U.S. District Court Judge Nancy Freudenthal ruled last week that Wyoming's ban on electioneering within 100 yards of a polling place on Election Day violates the First Amendment. This has been law in Wyoming for quite some time, I think almost since the 70s, in that you can't have any sort of electioneering. That would be like holding a campaign sign or having yard signs within 100 yards of a polling place. Well, that's struck down, and now we can electioneer right outside of a polling place, according to this district judge. So what does that look like for your own community? Well, theoretically, that means as you walk into the polling place, you could be handed campaign literature, or you could take campaign literature into the polling place, is what it sounds like to me. The only part that the court did uphold, though, is there's still a 100-foot buffer around polling places on absentee balloting days. So, for example, right now in Johnson County, there's early voting happening at the courthouse, so you couldn't have campaign literature within 100 feet of that polling place. So, in Buffalo, that would be you could probably be across the street. You just couldn't be up on the sidewalk next to the courthouse. Finally, in our last story of weekend update, we reported on Wednesday that the Banner Healthcare is requiring all employees who wish to remain employees to get the COVID vaccine virus. In an article from the Red Star, Casper Star Tribune, entitled WMC Employees Will Be Required to Get COVID-19 Vaccine, published on July 20th, 2021, Morgan Hughes writes, quote, we care for some of the most vulnerable people in our communities, and we owe it to them to take every measure possible to ensure the safest care environment, Banner President and CEO Peter Fine said in a statement. The vaccine data has fully supported the safety and efficacy to prevent disease and reduce its severity. There is overwhelming evidence for us to act on behalf of the communities that rely on us to care for and protect them, end quote. On the other hand, though, there are overwhelming rights that Wyoming citizens possess to not stick needles in our arms if we don't want to. This is a much bigger problem than many people realize. First, the legislature can't do anything because they won't be in session until after the first of the year, well after the November 1st deadline that Banner Health gave all of its employees. Second, even if Banner employees decided to file a class action lawsuit, lawsuits take time, so they'd have to start that pretty quick. About the only thing that they can do is collectively walk out and say, we will not have our rights violated. That's about the only way that they're going to get the attention of Banner Healthcare. Wyoming already has a shortage of nurses and medical staff, so reducing that number at the biggest hospital in Wyoming would probably have a pretty good effect, I would think. But to do that, people are actually going to have to get off their tail and do something. This is the same problem that we face with all of our efforts to clean out the little swamp. Gone are the days where we can just vote and make a change that we want to see. We actually have to go do something. We have to be the change that we seek. We have to be the ones that get up off our tail and make something happen. And in the case of Banner Healthcare and the Wyoming Medical Center, the employees that are affected are going to have to be the ones to do something. Frankly, our republic was set up to operate just that way, that citizens get active in their community and make the changes that they want to live by. That's the only way that it really works. And it seems to me that this is a good place to start, and it's an important place to start. This is an important topic, not just for the Banner Healthcare, Wyoming Medical Care situation, but it's a big issue for our entire state. because we have Section 38 of Article 1 of our Constitution, the health care amendment, but it's also a right-to-work state that protects employers. Employers have the right to hire and fire for any reason that they see fit. So those two principles are in conflict, and the legislature is going to have to figure that out. But in the meantime, the employees of the Wyoming Medical Center are going to have to take matters into their own hands and be the change that they seek. We'll keep you updated on all the happenings and making sure that you're informed as to everything that's going on with Banner Healthcare and the Wyoming Medical Center. Later on today, I'll post the entire information session beginning to end that was held Wednesday night in Johnson County concerning this bond election. Also, coming next week, I have an absolutely fascinating interview with Alisa Palzer. She's a new author in Johnson County. She's written a poetry book or a collection of poems that are just fascinating. I had a great discussion with her, and we'll publish that sometime next week. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.